tonight. I'm going to finish up my series about Satan. We have used Luke chapter 14, verse 31, the last 2 weeks, where the Bible says, "Or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. And what Jesus is saying, you need to know your competition. If you're leading an army and you only got 10,000 men and you know the opposing army is coming with you with 20,000, you better be sure that you can beat them being out a man 2-1, or else you better send ambassadors of peace and get this thing settled before you get beat. And so, and I pointed out over the past couple of weeks that this is a biblical principle. It's true in business. It's true in sports. I mean, the Ravens and the 49ers had scouts, and they've watched films all this week to learn about what their opposition's weakness is. And we pointed out that Satan is our spiritual enemy. He wants us to fail. He wants us to fall. He wants us to be down and out. He just soon that we quit. He knows he can't take our salvation away from us, so he'd like to destroy our testimony. And my point has been the last couple weeks, the more we know about him and what he's able to do and what he can't do, the better we are able to fight him. In the book of James, chapter 4, the Bible says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And our resistance will be better if we know, again, what he can and what he cannot do. And so we started a couple weeks ago. I preached on the subject, "The Devil Could Not." And I mentioned 5 things that he could not do in the past. He could not kill Jesus when he was born. He could not kill him in his earthly ministry. He could not make Jesus sin. He could not keep Jesus off the cross, and he could not keep Jesus in the grave. And then last week, we moved to the present, and I preached a sermon, "The Devil Cannot." And I mentioned, I had 5 points last week as well. Satan cannot keep you from salvation. He cannot steal or take your salvation. He cannot stop you from living for God. He cannot control your circumstances, and he cannot separate you from the love of God. And so tonight, as we finish up, I want to move to the future and speak on the subject, "The Devil Will Not." And as for like the past couple of weeks, I want to mention 5 things the devil will not be able to do in the future. So here we go. Number 1, the devil will not be able to stop Jesus from coming back. In John chapter 14, Jesus made this promise not only to his disciples that were standing there with him, but to all of us. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So that promise that Jesus would come again is a promise that he himself made. And we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, that describes that day. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." I think heaven will be shouting when that day comes. "With the voice of an archangel and the trump of God." When we hear that trumpet sound, it will be heard all over the world. That shout will be heard all over the world. "And all over the world, the dead in Christ shall rise first." It's the next thing on God's calendar. We know it as the rapture. When he comes back to call all the Christians home. And again, nobody knows the time. I mean, Jesus, he said, "I don't know the time. The angels don't know the time. The only one that knows the time is my Father, which is in heaven." But there will come a time when the sky will split and he will come, and there will be a shout and the trumpet will sound, and Jesus will say, "Come up hither. Come up hither. The dead in Christ shall rise first." Again, they have further to go than we which are alive, 6 feet further. They'll rise first, but we'll join them as they leave the surface of the earth and we'll rise together to meet him in the air. And I want you to know tonight that the promise that he will come again is just as sure as every other promise in this book. That promise that Jesus will come again is just as sure as Romans 10:13, where the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Most of us have staked our salvation on the promise in that verse. If we call upon him, he'll save us. Well, I want you to know tonight, his promise to come back is just as sure as the promise we claim for our salvation. It's just as sure as the verse that Becky read a moment ago, John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's just as sure as that promise. It's just as sure as Matthew 28:20, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." It's just as sure as the promise in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not." It's just as sure as the promise in Proverbs 3:6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths." And I could go on and I could read many other promises, and we claim those promises. We claim them for salvation. We claim them for life. We claim them for victory. Well, the promise that he is coming back is just as sure as every other promise in his Bible. I can picture it in my mind. God the Father on the throne. And nobody knows what he looks like. I mean, I know he's a spirit, but I can just picture him. I can just picture him on my mind, sitting on his throne. At his right hand sits the Son, sits Jesus Christ. One day, the Father looks over to his right, and he says, "Son, it's time to go call the children home." Jesus stands up. He gathers the angels. He says, "Send up the shout. Trumpet players, blow the trumpet. We're going to go and we're going to get all the kids. It's time for them to come home." Now, don't you know that Satan would like to stop that? Don't you know that Satan would like to foil that plan? Don't you know that if he could, he would do everything that he could to stop it? But I want to tell you tonight, he will not be able to stop it. It's a promise that Jesus will keep, that he will come back again. We sing the song, "Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. Jesus is coming again, and Satan will not be able to stop him." Number two, Satan will not stop Christians from rising in the air to meet him. Again, I go back to 1 Thessalonians. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." You know, the Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. God has given him, allowed him to have power on this sphere that we call earth. And some people might think, well, when this day comes and the shout comes and the trumpet blows and Jesus says, "Come up hither," maybe Satan could put a shield around the earth, that as we rise in the air, you know, something like Star Trek or something like that, we'd bump into that shield and we wouldn't be able to get through. Maybe he's got something like Patriot missiles, that when he sees Christians rising in the air, he can take those missiles and shoot them down. Some might say, well, he could take all the imps and the demons that he has under his control. A third of the angels that God created were expelled from heaven when he was. Maybe he could take those angels and put them on the grave of every Christian, lay out on the grave of every saved person that's buried, or hold on to the back of every Christian that's still alive and say, "Go ahead, try to rise in the air. I'm going to block you. We're going to block you. There's no way that you're going to be able to do it." Will he be able to do that? No, no, no. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And as much as Satan desires to stop it, he will not be able to do it. Again, we sing the song. I can't sing this one because I don't know the tune. But the words are, and I'll rise again. Ain't no power on earth can keep me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death and Satan can't keep me in the ground. And he will not be able to stop Christians from rising to meet him in the air. Number three, Satan will not be able to stop the 1,000-year reign of Christ. I don't have time to cover everything, but after Christians are called home, there's going to come a time of tribulation to the earth. I'm a pre-tribulation believer. I believe we're going to be raptured out of here before the tribulation comes. And there's going to be 7 years of misery on this earth where Satan is going to have his way. But at the end of 7 years, Jesus is coming back. And I believe this is when he's going to come back riding the white horses. I believe this is why when we're going to come riding those horses with him. And he is going to set up his kingdom on the earth, and he is going to reign for 1,000 years. You don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn to Revelation chapter 20 and read some verses. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, Carol and I were talking before the service, and she was telling me something that her nephew Bruce had pointed out to her, that, and we know the Bible says this, that in the sight of the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years. And so when, in God's scheme of time, he's going to reign for a day. Now, again, it'll be 1,000 years as we know years. I mean, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars were created for days and months and for seasons, and it'll be 1,000 years as we know it. But we're going to reign with Christ. Now, Satan, again, would like to stop that. He'd like to escape that pit that he's been thrown into. But I want to tell you tonight, he will not be able to do it. He will not be able to break off that chain that we read about. He will not be able to break that seal that we read about. He will stay in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years until the reign of Christ, who, by the way, we will rule with him, sit on thrones with him, until that 1,000-year reign is done. Number four, Satan will not stop the white throne judgment. Again, going to Revelation chapter 20. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. The great white throne judgment is when sinners, unsaved sinners, because we're all sinners, some saved and unsaved, but when unsaved sinners stand before the throne of God, and God will judge them for their works. There's two books there. A book of life, which their name will not be in, and a book of works, the things that they have done on this earth. Again, Christians won't be there. If we're a Christian, if we've received Christ as our Savior, our name is in the book of life. And we will not be judged for our works. We will not be judged for our sins. Now, again, it's not part of my message. I think we will be judged for the things that God has given us to do. And did we live up to that potential? Did we accomplish those things that that he wants us to accomplish? And our rewards, the crowns that we'll get, that we'll later cast at Jesus' feet, will be determined by how we've lived up to what God wants us to do. But we will not stand at this judgment. We will not stand at the white throne judgment. All the books will be open. Every sin will be rehearsed before every person. Now again, Satan would like to stop it. He would like that none of his followers, none of the people that have listened to him, none of them will be judged. And by the way, he lies today. He tells people, how would a loving God make you stand before him and give an account for everything that you've done? How could a loving God do that? And again, I'm so glad we have a loving God, but part of the love of God is the justice of God. Amen. And he says, every person that doesn't know Christ will stand before this throne and they will be judged. And Satan would say, just a minute. I don't think that's true. I don't think that will happen. It doesn't matter what he thinks. It's what this book says. This book is the Word of God. This book conveys the mind of God. And this book tells us that that those that don't know Christ will stand before that white throne and be judged for their works. And Satan would like to stop it, but he will not. And then number five, Satan will not stop Jesus from casting him, Satan, and all of his followers into hell forever. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I'm going to remind you tonight, hell is a terrible place. Terrible place. It's a lake of fire. And even though it's a lake of fire, it's a dark place. There is no light in hell. It's a bottomless pit. The worm dieth not. Forever there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And again, Satan would like to just wave his arms and use his power and do away with hell. He would just like to make it go away. He would just like to wipe it out of existence. And he lies to us today. How could a loving God, how could a God that loves us so much create this place called hell, this place of eternal punishment? And even though Satan would like to do away with it, I'm afraid, my friend, that he will not be able to do away with it. And regardless of the lies that he tells today, there is a hell, a real, literal place called hell, and it exists just like the Bible says that it exists. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, I immediately think about people that I know that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I immediately think about people in my family that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I immediately think of people I've worked with over the years that I witnessed to over and over and over, and they always had an excuse. They always had some reason where they didn't want to listen. I immediately think of a couple good friends, wonderful friends that I have, some of the closest friends that I have, that even though we have spent night after night, long nights, talking about heaven and hell and Jesus, they continue to say, no, 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 no. I don't know about you, but when I think about hell, I think of all those people that are headed to spend eternity there, and I weep, and I cry, and I make new vows to go after them with a heightened sense of urgency, with more boldness. I've gotten past the point of worrying about offending them. I've gotten past the point of worrying if they're going to ever listen to me again. I'm to the point where I just want to keep coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back and want to shout at the top of my voice, hey, 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 don't you know where you're headed? Don't you know how you're going to spend eternity? There is a heaven and there is a hell. And what makes a difference is Jesus Christ. Satan will not be able to do away with it. Every person that doesn't know him when they're up there for eternity. Now tonight, as we close, and I'm only going to say it once. If you read the bulletin, I'm not going to say it three times. Did you read the bulletin? Preachers that say, and in conclusion, three times, they need to read the Bible where it says, thou shalt not bear false witness. So, in conclusion tonight, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, what's keeping you back? I can't think of a better day than February the 3rd, 2013, for you to come to Jesus Christ. It'll be easy for you to say, hey, I got saved on Super Bowl Sunday. I got saved when they were playing the first quarter of that game because I was in church and I had an old preacher preach about heaven, preach about hell. And I decided that night that I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. So if you're here tonight, maybe just one person that's never received Christ as your Savior, would you do it tonight? He loves you. He died for you. He begs you to come. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise that Jesus is coming back again. And one of these days, if we live till that time, we'll rise to meet him in the air. Satan won't be able to stop him. Satan will not be able to stop any of the things that you've spelled out that's going to happen in the end of time. And so I pray, Father, if there is somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, help them tonight to put aside all their excuses, put aside all the things that have stopped them from coming to the Savior, and help them to come tonight. And then, Father, speak to us as Christians tonight. There is a hell. I mean, Satan's not going to be able to do away with it as much as we'd like to do away with it. We're not going to be able to do away with it either. And every single person that dies without Christ is headed to that place. Help us to be bold. Help us to be urgent. Help us to be persistent as we share our Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.